Oh, Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment. And we want to hear your voice distinctly. We want you to drown out all other voices. For I know Satan does not like when the Word of God is spoken from the sacred desk. Neither do I speak without speaking to you publicly, Lord, that I am not worthy. Make me worthy. Send the Spirit. There are people here who want to know you better and love you more. And Lord, you have also gifted this church with children. So help them to be attentive too during the sermon. And that our church would be calm and be able to hear and understand so that we can be more like you. So send the Spirit and holy angels and do this for us, and we will give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you know we're doing a series that's entitled, "And Who Can Stand at His Appearing?" That's a direct quote from Malachi 3, verse 2. And you remember a couple weeks ago, part one was making the Master marvel one way or another. This was amazing to me. For there's a story in the book of Matthew in which the centurion made Jesus marvel. And he marveled, it said, when Jesus heard what the centurion said to him, it says, Jesus marveled and said, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What a terrible indictment, folks. The heathen. And then a couple pages later in the book of Mark, we find out that Jesus marveled again. Only this time he marveled at the believer's unbelief. And so in part one, we discovered that we're going to marvel Jesus one way or another. And we need to make the decision that it's because of our great faith. Number two, last week we looked at narrowing the focus. Those who will stand at his appearing are those that narrow their focus. We looked at the rich young ruler, and here's the final out. It says he wanted the heavenly treasure that Jesus offered him, but he wanted also the temporal advantages his riches could bring him. He was sorry that such conditions existed. He desired eternal life, but he was not willing to make the sacrifice. The cost of eternal life seemed too great, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Friends, we need to narrow the focus. And that focus needs to be on Jesus in heaven instead of this earth. And now we're going to look at part three, which is entitled, "Our Time Belongs to..." ... I invite you to take your Bibles. Oh, before we do that, in Psalms 39:5, David complains to God, and here's what he says. "You have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as nothing before you." How would you like to spend 2 years making phone calls to people who aren't home? Sound absurd? According to one time management study, that's how much time the average person spends trying to return calls to people who will never seem to be in. Not only that, we spend 6 months waiting for traffic lights to turn green. I think here in Las Vegas, we spend 8 or 9 months. Another 8 months reading junk mail. These unusual statistics should cause us to do time use evaluation. Once we recognize that simple, quote, life maintenance can chip away at our time in such huge blocks, we will see how vitally important it is that we don't busy ourselves in vain. In Psalms 39, it gives us some perspective. David complained to God. He said, "You have made my days as handbreadths, my age as nothing before you." He meant that to an eternal God, our time on earth is brief. And He doesn't want us to waste any of it. When we do, we throw away one of the how would you like to spend, we throw away the most precious commodity He gives us. I found it. Each minute is an irretrievable gift, an unredeemable slice of eternity. Sure, we have to make the phone calls and we must wait at lights. But what about the rest of our time? Are we using it to advance the cause of Christ and to enhance our relationship with Him? Is our time well spent? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the parable found in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Let's open our Bibles, open our iPads, open our phones, whatever. Children, I hope you have your Bibles. Open them up. I'm going to read this parable. And we're going to look at this. We want to know who will stand at His appearing. We want to make the Master marvel at our great faith. And we also want to make the sacrifices necessary and see the importance of God, of Jesus, and a relationship with Him. Well, now we're going to look at our time belongs to. All right, here we go. Verse 14, "And the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And then he who received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled account with them. So he who received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' The Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' The Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' And then he who received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and I hid the talent in the ground. Look, here, there you have what is yours.' But the Lord said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I had not scattered, so you ought to have deposited the money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he will is taken away from him. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. So one simple question this morning. That question is, what was the simple requirement of the owner of his servants? Simple requirement was, I put down a return on his investment. That's all that was required, a return on his investment. Actually, you could say an effort to do something with what he gave him. And when he came back, believe it or not, there was one person who didn't do anything with it. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about time management. I want to show you something really interesting, and I'll tie all of this together. First of all, most of you may recognize the name Carl Sandburg. Here's what Carl Sandburg said about time. Time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how it will be spent. Now, here's what Ben Franklin said about time. He said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." And elsewhere he said, "Time is money." And then there's Henry David Thoreau. Henry David Thoreau said, "As if you could kill time without injuring eternity." And believe it or not, Jenny, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee said, "If you love life, don't waste time. For time is what life is made of." And then on another website, I found these 4 bullet points that the article was about. Here's what it said. We only have so much time. Time is our most valuable commodity. Time is the essence of life. In fact, time is life itself. So I want you to see what some great thinkers, I guess in Bruce Lee's case, it'd be a great mover, says about time. But let's see what Ellen White says about time. Found in the book Christ Object Lesson, in chapter 25 titled Talents, 40 pages cover this parable, and 6 of them include a section on time. Here's what she says about time. The first thing I put down is, get ready, time belongs to God. Now you can fill in the blank in the title of the sermon. But get this one. She then says, of no talent he has given will he require a more strict account than our time. And by the way, I'm showing this because she is calling one of the talents time. See? And she says, God will not hold us as strictly accountable in other areas as he will in time. Now you know where we're going with this. How is your time management as far as the Bible and spirit of prophecy understandings of the use of time? How is it? I want you to think about that. I got some heartfelt personal feelings that I want to share with you. But in a second. Because here's what else she says in these 4 pages. She says, the value of time is beyond computation. And then number 4, she says this. Are you ready? We have but few days of probation in which to prepare for eternity. What are we doing with our time? Number 5. She writes in those 4 pages, time squandered can never be recovered. We cannot call back even one moment. Man, that's pretty final, you know? Hey, I'm thankful God is telling us this. I want to know. Okay, I don't want to be ignorant. The only way in which we can redeem our time is by being co-workers with God in His great plan of redemption. All are to labor in winning souls to Christ. How are you spending your time? Let me give you a reflection from my point of view, and you can stone me. Because I myself struggle. But when I have prayer meeting, I come, where are you? When I have skip lunch and pray Sabbath, on occasion, I'm here, where are you? When we have Vespers to close the Sabbath, when we have a special program, like on New Year's Eve, what I'm afraid of, and you can correct me on, and that's the beauty of a family, we correct one another. I'm afraid you're at home watching TV or on the computer. If I thought you were doing something meaningful while I was here doing something else, I wouldn't even be talking to you. But I'm not sure why, because I myself struggle with some of these issues. And I want to stand at His appearing. And if this talent above all else is the one He's going to hold us the most accountable for, it has to be addressed. And remember, every time I do that, you're going to watch me more closely to see what I'm doing with my time. See, if I didn't mention it to you, you wouldn't bother to look at me. Personally, I like a little bit of pressure. I like to know that you're watching. Believe it or not, there's times when it spurs me on to do right when otherwise I would have done wrong. So these issues are really important to me. Who will stand at His appearing? Those who are engaged in soul winning, those who come to the church functions to stay away from the worldly things that are bombarding our mind. Let me give you a suggestion. I suggest that for 1 month, starting tomorrow, it's the first day of the week. I know it's the middle of January, but it's the first day of the week. That every day for 30 days, you write down how much time you spent in prayer and Bible study, and then next to it, you put down how much time you spent on TV. Or the Bible, or some other meaningless activity, playing a computer game for hours at a time. I'm going to do the same thing for 1 month. Let's see what we're filling our heads with. Because the world is powerful. Its temptations are strong. And the more we put in, the more influence and effect it's going to have on all of us. All of us. Of all the talents He gives, that He will require a more strict account. It's time. And we must look at how we're doing our time. We must push ourselves. We must make sacrifices. Did you see why last week's had to be? It said the rich young ruler refused to make a sacrifice. Our God in heaven made a sacrifice that the rich young ruler couldn't even come up to, no matter how rich he was. And it's the same with you and I. And so part three, and who is able to stand at His appearing? Those who use their time wisely. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,400 that carried no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? You got that? Okay, it's in your account, and it doesn't carry over. So if you don't use it, you lose it. What would you do? I'd hope that you drew out every cent every day, of course, and gave it to the church. I mean, and used it to your advantage. Okay? I hope that's what we would do. Well, you have such a bank, and its name is time. Every morning it credits you 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdrafts. Each day is open. Opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposit, you lose yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. And so who will be able to stand but those who use their time wisely? Now I have two challenges for you, not one. I already said that for 30 days you'd keep a record of how much time you spend in prayer and Bible study. And by the way, if you have a Bible study with someone, that's included in the time. If you have a prayer time any time during the day, that's included. You come to prayer meeting, that's included. And then compare it to the television or to the internet or to whatever. And so, as we've already discovered, who will stand at His appearing? It'll be those who use their time wisely. And we want to give you a wonderful opportunity. So let's pray, let's plan, and let's see what miracle God will perform.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.